are listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to the Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys are rewatching Sex and the City with you. And just like that, I'm Corey Cav.
I'm Kevin James Doyle.
My name is John Sieber.
And we're here in the smoking lounge.
Do you like games?
Ooh.
I know what you did last summer? No, that's I like.
That's
you,
like,
no, that's you, Saw.
That's no,
Saw.
It's not. Well, it's, Saw is, it's, it's. No, it's the one with Courtney Cox. Scream.
Hey, Sydney.
Do you like games?
Did he say, do you like games?
Hey, Samantha.
That movie was like so good.
Oh, dude, when I first saw that movie, it was pretty mind-blowing at first.
Yeah.
It was like,
oh, yeah, it was great.
Dee Barrymore, like all over the posters.
Yeah.
And then just gets in the first 10 minutes. Capped in the first like 5 minutes.
Yeah. Very smart.
Yeah, that was revolutionary, that mask.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dude, when I was in college, there was this girl that I was friends with, really like close friend. And one night we like hung out super late, and then I was like, oh, I'm going to go home. And then I ended up getting the Scream mask from someone, and her friend was like, oh, we heard something outside. And I went and hid in the woods and just peeked out from behind a tree with the Scream mask on after I told her I'd left.
Dude.
It terrified her.
Yeah, of course.
Like sent her into a whole thing. And then like we waited like a month to tell her that it was us.
Were there like real murders that happened with that mask, you think?
The copycat murders?
And I don't think copycat murders were,
and if so,
that,
like
as popular yet.
That would have been so scary. Imagine being the person that got murdered after that movie came out, for real. You think it's just one of your friends like joking?
I mean, it's like that's double because that's like what the movie is, and then you know,
yeah,
that's true. Yeah,
but stop it. Just take that off.
Oh, that's awful,
dude.
Yeah, what other games do people play?
Tag,
Jenga,
Jenga. Just a game. This is just an episode of tag. Samantha and Charlotte playing tag.
We've already saw this episode, but let's just think about let's predict what happens. What games do they play in this episode?
Settlers of Catan,
yeah,
okay. We got an easy formula for this.
All right, here's
what character would play what game?
Exactly. What board game is what character?
Oh, what board game is what character?
I feel like Samantha's Mousetrap.
Why? Because it's some crazy Rube Goldberg machine?
Yeah. And I just feel like, you know, the whole point is to just trap the mouse. And it's really fun.
It is really fun.
I feel like she would make it like a sexy version of Mousetrap, where it would end with like a BDM device like landing on her or something like that.
And she gets put in that cage at the end and she's like all in leather or something like that. Yeah, totally.
I know the game that Steve plays with Miranda right after he cheats on her.
What's horse. That?
He sorry.
Plays, oh, nice place. Sorry.
Big plays Monopoly.
Yeah.
Totally.
I think after if that's not what Steve that's what Steve plays when he cheats on her, but in general, Steve plays when he doesn't have a lot of time. He plays pig, and every other time he plays horse.
Mm-hmm. And like all the girls that he says, like, hey, do you want to play pig or horse? Like they're offended every time, and he's just completely oblivious.
Dude, how many times
when you think it's an insult? He's like, no, I just want to shoot hoops.
How many times when Steve's playing basketball does he use the phrase, hey man, this is prison rules, and then like ends up getting hurt, like skinning his knee?
Wait, what are prison rules?
It's just like, you know, you can like kind of like throw an elbow.
Okay.
you can like travel a little bit, but yeah, you know, he utilizes that term so much.
Completely.
Carrie playing like I feel like she's like, do you ever play Mafia? We've all played Mafia.
Yeah, we play
it's
Mafia
like it's
together.
Like a game where it's like a werewolf is another one.
Yeah.
Party game where you try to like
it's the best.
Read the room and understand different people. I feel like she would be like into like figuring out.
She's always kind of head gamey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'd be like trying to figure out who is what.
For those of you that don't know, it's like that's like where someone has a lie in their head and then you have to. I don't know. It is psychological and sociological.
So she could play Clue also.
Clue,
yeah. Clue's more
Didn't
fun.
Didn't we talk
though.
About that last time?
We did talk about Clue last time, yeah.
Have we already done this episode in the rewatch?
Your penis in the bedroom with a condom, because I'm safe.
Miranda, is there like a
law game?
See, listen, for those Magic the Gathering players out there, a lot of Magic the Gathering is like following an order of operations and like getting the rules correctly.
Yeah, would she be like that or D&D? D&D is like a lot of math stuff like that.
Miranda would be like some sort of tabletop, like
I have a prediction for game. For and just like that.
What's that?
Miranda
is a dungeon
doesn't
master?
Want to go to sports anymore with
Steve,
and then they connect by going to a WNBA game.
Ooh.
Oh. They go see the Liberty play?
They see the Liberty play, and there's like a and like Rebecca, what was her name? Rebecca.
Cheryl Swoops
is there, makes a cameo.
Dude, because, and this time Dr. Robert Leeds is dancing, and there's someone else watching him dance.
They really flipped the script on that one.
What's the song that's playing?
Is love?
No, that's what we put on it. It's River Deep Mountain High, isn't it? Tina Turner.
Yeah, totally. And then leaves Charlotte.
Like a river, maybe.
Leaves Charlotte for a game.
I want to say Chutes and Ladders, or just something that's like the most like something you'd play with a 3-year-old.
War. Easiest game ever.
I think
flip a card that I win.
I think Charlotte's would be hosting bridge parties.
Ooh,
like she'd be bringing bridge back and like have 26 people over that all bring like potato salad.
Yeah,
that's not a bad idea.
Do you guys know how to play bridge?
No,
that's the game old people play, but it's gonna go extinct. But I feel like there was such a strong culture around bridge.
I feel like it's gonna come back. It's the same thing with cribbage.
Yeah, cribbage is great.
And what's the other one? See, like, I think cribbage would have been something that people are like, oh, that's gonna go. What's the other one that it's play a lot of
spades?
Old, no, euchre? I think a lot of old, like, I think it's old Korean women play it. It's called what is it? And you use tiles and cards. I'll remember this. I know that someone is right now.
The tile game that I know of is Mahjong.
It's Mahjong.
Okay.
Mahjong. Maybe it's not cards, it's just tiles.
I just know tiles. I want to hear everyone's favorite game. I want to hear your favorite games.
I have mine. Y'all have gotten me very into, I don't want to say what you've got me very into because I don't want to take someone's favorite game, but y'all have gotten me into a game recently that's a classic game that I like, but I would say a game outside of that one is Monopoly Deal.
It's Monopoly Deal's great.
Card game version of Monopoly. I love it. I think two of my friends got me turned on to it, and then my family got into it. It's like, it is a perfect, we're all home for Christmas, let's sit down and play something. And then someone's like, what is this? And by the end of the night, you've played like 10 games. It's so much fun.
We need to get it. Bradshaw Boys Monopoly Deal.
Dude, love it. Monopoly Deal's great.
Kevin, favorite game?
I want you to go first because I don't want to steal yours.
You can. I like lots of games, and I know what yours is going to be.
Yours, I know it.
Don't.
Okay.
Don't.
I'm guessing. I'm just guessing. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, mine is Hello Kitty Island Adventure. Okay.
Mine is what was that PC game with the creepy guy?
Leisure Suit Larry. He's not creepy. He's just trying to rock a leisure suit.
Yeah, he's trying to rock a leisure suit and just trying to meet some ladies.
Mine is a tie for backgammon or euchre, which are both games that have strategy, luck, and you can play them continuously until the night is over.
You pass out from alcohol poisoning.
Exactly.
I feel like, you can make your own decisions, but I feel like euchre fits you because euchre is a game that screams Ohio to me.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
Midwest.
Ohio.
It's Midwest.
It's Midwest, because, yeah. No, Midwest cards.
When you meet someone from Michigan, Ohio, or
Indiana,
not even Western Pennsylvania or Eastern Pennsylvania, like if they're from Western Pennsylvania,
they know how to milk the cow, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Euchre is a great game. It's a wonderful game. It's a card game, but you have a partner. And so there is like a cool extra dynamic that like you get to socialize in a different way than you do with like poker or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally.
I haven't played it in a while, but I already talked about it. My favorite game is probably Magic the Gathering.
I was correct.
Backgammon's up there too. I love backgammon. I think we're having a backgammon tournament at our house this weekend if you guys want to come.
Really?
I would love to come.
I will say this about John. He like has explained like, and this kind of goes into what the episode will be, but you've explained sort of like the power of games, because it is funny that fucking dogs will like play a game with another dog, which is like we'll beat each other up. It's like kind of only like there's, it's kind of crazy how in every culture,
yeah,
humans just create like, this is just a fun way to like challenge your brain and engage with another person. And it's like, once you start thinking and not taking for granted that like these games exist, or start building one and start realizing like, oh, it has to be fair. Mm-hmm. It has to be challenging. Like, and to see what game. So,
and then I love the metagame, which is like the game within the game. Mm-hmm. And the example I'd use is like, we all know rock, paper, scissors, right? Mm-hmm. But then the metagame would be like, Corey's personality is this. So maybe he's most likely going to play this. That means I should. And it's like that strategy or metagame within the game is always like really fun to uncover.
I've got my rock, paper, scissors strategy. It's the same every time. And it, I would say it 95% of the time never loses. And
let's play after we're done with
let's
this.
Let's play right now.
I have a strategy too.
Let's play right now while we're on the mic.
But
people love a visual thing. And
what if we have
medium.
The same strategy?
Oh, okay. Maybe we'll play off mic and then we'll talk about it
afterwards.
I did lie. I wanted to say what my favorite game actually was. I totally forgot about this.
What?
It has way more to do with the episode than I thought.
What's that?
Early in relationships being manipulative and distant game. And then engaging in extreme ways and then pulling away just to fuck the person emotionally.
Yes.
That's the best game.
That's the only game.
I mean,
it's the power game.
That's the power. That is what that's
lying,
the,
being deceitful and dishonest. I got a two-faced. That does
remind me of my second favorite game. The first one is Monopoly Deal. The second is called French Kissing Your Cousin. It's such a fun game. It works great at family reunions.
Well, let's watch the episode. This is season two, episode 13. Katie's going to give us the summary, and we're going to be back with
the games.
Also, the recap of Corey and I's paper, rock, scissors strategy.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Bye.
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 Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Episode 25, Games People Play. Carrie starts going to therapy after obsessing about Big for too long. Offended by the diagnosis of dating men who are wrong for her, she dates cute fellow patient Seth, a guy who loses interest in women after sleeping with them. Miranda plays peekaboo with her cute across-the-air-shaft neighbor. And Samantha dates a sports fanatic whose mood depends on who won the game that night. And now, back to the boy.
Knicks win, baby.
You think this is a
you
game?
You think the Knicks are a game?
I gotta say.
You think so?
I mentioned this while we were watching. The guy was like a super big Knicks fan, right?
Yeah.
And it was just the end of the regular season. Like, usually people are pretty disappointed unless their team goes and wins the championship.
You're right. You brought it up that it just means that they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, they just didn't make the playoffs, yet he was still super thrilled. But
that right there is just, it is It's a classic. This clearly wasn't a writer's room full of people
who are big
that watch sports.
Yeah, totally.
It's like, that's not how it usually works. Also, wait, I mean, it was cool. And also, wait, are there that many girls that go to sports nights to pick up guys?
I feel like that was maybe sort of a different, like, I definitely know it, like, clubs, you know, they would have like ladies
night.
Yeah,
I guess ladies night. Yeah, ladies night.
But this felt like a different thing, that like maybe that was actually a thing that was like, it's sports night. But like, you've been to like, there's just sports bars in New York where you can just go.
No, I don't want to rag on it because it's not, but it seems like a slight adjustment that they could have made that would have made a little more sense. Is there like, they know there's like, none of the guys in New York, like, I don't want an intellectual. I don't want this. I want a sports guy. And they're like, here's where we go. And then they go and they're like, plus it's girls night. Girls drink free. Right. It just seemed like, for people that are so tapped in and understand things, to just be like, what?
there definitely was a thing.
Yeah. Like,
we found them. We just realized that
Carrie's been writing about sex and relationship for 15 years. And she's like, what is this?
Like, it's Narnia. And they're just like, how did we come across this?
Samantha, like, is the only one who's figured it out. That's so funny.
Yeah.
It was really weird that it's like they found a sports bar in Manhattan.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you don't want to go too hard on it because it's the storyline.
Yeah. Because in New York, there's like individual, like, I have a Bears bar that I go to watch the Chicago Bears play. But
is
I don't
it,
know.
On 3rd Avenue?
Yeah, Canal Bar.
Canal Bar.
Place is great.
Place is fantastic.
Canal Bar is awesome.
They grill up hot dogs like in the winter, and you sit outside and just eat dogs, watch the Bears be awful at football.
You want to hear a classic first got to New York move?
Yeah.
Is me and Harlan, who's been on the pod, the Denseur, we're big Ohio State fans, Ohio State Buckeyes. And he's like, dude, I found this bar. It's an Ohio State bar. And we're like, what? He's like, we got to get reservations because it packs out. On the day we got there, and it was like $12 Stella's, and they're like, do you want wings, 6 or 12? And we're like, we'll have 12. And they're like, $24.
What?
Gosh. And it's called Tonic. It was in Times Square. And then like the game finishes, and right when the game finishes, they deflate all of the big Brutus the Buckeyes and start like blowing up like Florida State and start taking everything off.
My gosh.
And they just look at the schedule, and it's like they have four different locations, and one of their bars is like Florida State and Oklahoma and Ohio State. We totally fell for it. And the second
time, isn't that the point though, to attract a bunch of people in the same, like, like-minded people in the same spot?
No, 100%. I'm so pro of what they do.
Yeah.
But it was like, he's like, dude, I found an Ohio. It's totally different from Canal Bar.
Canal Bar is a Bears bar. It's a Chicago sports bar. Yeah,
exactly.
But you're right. Like, that would, I have a friend who is very into college football. He was the mascot for a team. Y'all both know this person.
Oh, yeah.
And he would always, for years, I mean, because it was that thing, like, his massive thing on Saturdays, and he would be like, all right, we're going to this one bar. And it would be fun, but there were definitely a few times, they switched bars a few times, and there'd be definitely a few times where after a while he was just like, it's such a hassle to go to the team bar.
Yeah. Because
you get there, there's a few people you've kind of known, but if you don't go with a crew, then you get there, you spend a lot of money. If you want to really watch the game, sometimes it's kind of a hassle to watch the game because there's so much other bar stuff going on. And eventually he was just like, it's fun to have a group of like-minded people. It's also really fun to just watch it at home in the privacy of your own home.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, to sports watchers out there, you know it.
You know it, sports watchers.
But for people that don't understand the appeal of sports, it's the same. It's like
watching The Bachelor.
It's the interesting version of the weather that this, but it is. It's like the
I've
second.
I've never heard that comparison. That's really funny.
Because you're just watching a phenomenon.
Well, you're just like automatic. You're sitting at a bar. You're not talking to someone. It's just like,
yeah. And the weather's very interesting. We saw a lightning strike tonight, and it captivated.
Exactly. And I
kind of have been the same way that I would just like watch a game. I rode my bike here, and then I was tracking the weather, and then I was like, oh, it says it's going to stop early.
Hold on, I want to interject right there.
Okay.
I've known you for a long time. I have never seen Corey get really upset or angry, except for one time, and that is while watching his team lose, where he stood up in a stranger's house and like slammed the wall and was like, "Damn!"
Yeah, I did punch a wall,
and he looked at John. He's like, "I'm sorry, I'm not gonna have sex with you tonight."
Yeah, which I was bummed about.
Yeah, well, you know, we got out of the NCAA tournament that night, so you weren't gonna get any.
No,
listen, we're D1. That night, you were D none. You got no D from me. I'll definitely, though, I love it. I mean, like, I think if you connect with, like, whatever it is, like, yours bears, mine is, like, where I went to college.
Yeah.
And that is the only time, like, I don't really, I mean, like, you'll watch college football, mm-hmm. but, like, yeah, I will happily go watch with someone else, but there is a weird emotional connection that, like, I was never great at basketball, but it's not weird.
That's your alma mater.
It's not weird. It's a phenomenon, though. Yeah. There is a thing where I'm like, it's my alma mater. It's also like what I grew up with because it was in my home state. And I can go into it not really knowing much about the team that season and just feel such an emotional connection to it. It's great.
I mean, that's also, this was the Knicks, but New York is an interesting sports town in that, like, even when the Yankees are about to win the World Series, you can still not experience it.
Yes. Like, oh, they won. Single Yankees fan. Yeah.
If you're in like Pittsburgh when the Steelers win or some small town, it's like,
oh yeah,
that's the entire
that's
city.
Everything. Yeah.
But then there's also all
that's really, really true.
Yeah. And there's all of the different like college people, like Michigan has a huge,
huge.
I just see Michigan sweatshirts like everywhere here because they're smart. So it's like, people end up you say way more Michigan gear than Ohio State, but you see all of the different alma maters of places, mm-hmm. and then even pro teams have like, so in New York is an interesting sports town for those reasons.
It's also weird because a lot of New Yorkers are not Northeasterners are not into college sports like New Yorkers are because they went to colleges, mm-hmm. but like you talk to someone that grew up here, I know so many people from New York City that are like born and raised, mm-hmm. that are like, yeah, college sports are kind of stupid.
Yeah.
They're just like, it doesn't make sense. And I'm like, why? And they're like, well, I grew up with the Knicks. I grew up with the Nets. There was the Jets. Like, they were just like, why do I want to watch a bunch of 18-year-olds play?
And there's just,
which you know, like, I totally disagree with that.
There's just like a bunch of other stuff to do in New York. Mm-hmm. I think in the rest of the country, sometimes like sports is like one of the few things that you can do and like rally together on. In New York, you just have tons of options. So I get why it's not on. Like my level of sports enthusiasm dropped significantly since living in New York. I used to be a big sports guy. Now I am like barely hanging on to watching one sports team.
I would not describe you as a sports guy.
No, right?
Here was a sport that the writers played in this episode. How few lines can we give Charlotte York?
No kidding.
Dude, we talk sometimes about like Charlotte not having a storyline. There's a couple times where they like, they throw one, like Samantha doesn't get one. Charlotte didn't have one at
She had all. The walk down. She had the walk down the street.
She had nothing. Nothing. Yeah.
I can't think of another time. Like,
what would her storyline have been?
I'm wondering, because this episode was really short. This was like a 20-minute episode. I think it's one of the short, when we all noticed right away that this was a short episode. I'm wondering if she had a storyline.
Hey, cut it.
And they just cut the whole thing.
Mm,
yeah. I wish I could.
No, that has happened in some other episodes. And I feel like
do you think that would be on here?
It might be on there. Cause I remember that happening with something when we did the first watch and someone commented one time being like, oh, there's this, but this got removed or something like that.
We still haven't watched the behind the scenes stuff on the DVD commentary.
Yeah.
But I would love to hear Charlotte's story, like what it would, but let's write it. What is her storyline?
Well, let's see. So it's all games people play.
Mm-hmm. So you have Carrie playing the relational game with
Bon Jovi.
You have Miranda doing like a little bit of the physical stuff, the miss identity game with Peekaboo, and then you have Samantha getting into a sports game in order to date a guy. What like type of other game could they Could they, I guess Charlotte could go on a game show.
Oh my gosh.
What?
This is crazy.
What?
Hit me with it.
Is this the game?
Yeah.
What?
Trivia. TV listings for this episode routinely included a note about Charlotte joining a bridge club.
What?
Come on.
But no such storyline is included.
Boom.
Dude, you nailed it.
You called it.
You called that.
That is so nuts.
So what happened? Like, let's write it. What happens?
So she goes.
We got to ask her about this next
you
time.
You know what? What if she went? Yeah, we do. What if?
We have, okay.
That was a game.
That was a game. That was a game. That was a game that we learned since learning the rules to explain what just happened.
So we were eating a bunch of candy while we watched the movie Licorice, mm-hmm. and we spent, because we love and appreciate all of you listeners, we sucked our mouths to make sure we didn't make any mouth noises. Because people don't want us to make mouth noises, and we make an effort to take all of your constructive criticism mm-hmm. and apply it to make the greatest show possible.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that before, and then we recorded, and then just now it's sitting next to me, and just like instinctively, I reached for like some Red Vines,
and we just gave him the harshest look,
and I was like, oh,
Kevin,
yeah,
no, you can't have that.
Misophony is a real thing. We can't do that.
That's insane that Charlotte joins the bridge club. So what happens?
So what if they did a really smart thing where she's talking about how she wants to get out and be social. She's kind of tired of the dating scene and meeting all these guys. And she's like, maybe I could meet some women. And also maybe I could meet some older women with some nice sons so I could find someone to get matched up to. And she goes in there and she ends up having a weird thing, but they do a smart thing that one of the women she meets and she ends up not mixing with is Bunny McDougal.
Whoa.
And then later on they re-meet after she meets Trey.
That'd be such a great Easter egg just to see Bunny in the background.
Yeah, it's not even a thing where they really remember each other. She just like makes a one line appearance and then goes away.
Wow.
I could see her showing up to the bridge club and her like being there for that purpose.
Yeah.
But then like getting paired up with someone and taking it way too seriously and like kind of ruining the spark because she's so competitive or something like that.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know. We do need to ask her.
Yeah,
because it's so funny. That's so fitting. And last weekend, Corey and I were at a party talking about games. And this one girl that I met, her and her boyfriend, she was talking about how she's thought a few times about, like, because her grandma is sick or maybe passed away. She was like, I've thought about, like, learning bridge.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Like, to kind of keep my grandma's memory alive. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I was like, my grandma used to be in a bridge club, too. And I was like, no game sustains itself for that long if it's not really fun. You just get people committed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I wonder if there will be like a bridge resurgence with another generation. You know, only like our generation is always just like, yeah, let's play bridge and like,
dude, why
drink
don't we
booze?
Play bridge? It's when like, we could listen to Post Malone.
Dude, why? I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, hey. think about it that way.
You're right.
Why would I play bridge when I can spend hours upon hours watching other people play video games and talk?
Yo, that's what I'm talking about.
You know what I'm saying?
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude, let's Twitch. Let's start a Twitch stream of us playing bridge.
Let's start a Twitch stream of us playing bridge, but it just has all these long edited montages of sick bridge moves to the tune of like, I'm feeling like a rock star.
Dude, I'm going to say it. I'm going to do it right now. Get ready.
What?
Bridge Shop Boys.
Oh, yes. Man. If anyone wants to get in our Twitch channel, twitch.tv.
Hey, what's up? I'm John with the Bridge Shop Boys.
Bridge Shop Boys.
I'm feeling like a bridge star. Dude, I mean.
Was that Post Malone talking about being a bridge star?
Feeling like a bridge star, making lots of bridge moves.
What is this thing? Always tired?
Is that what it is? He looks always tired.
Let's talk about, we kind of talked about Samantha's storyline. I thought it was like, that one feels like you've seen it in every movie and every TV show before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But Miranda's storyline, on the other hand,
dang,
we forgot the how it ended, and we were pleasantly surprised. Kevin got a good chuckle.
It's a good homage. Her storyline is a very good homage to Rear Window.
Yep,
Rear Sex Window.
Yep.
Oh, look over there.
Oh, he showed me his ass.
Have you ever heard?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy Stewart. Shout out to another podcast. There's a great Conan episode. It's just Dana Carvey doing Jimmy Stewart doing sex talk like that.
Oh, really?
That's exactly
what
you did.
Oh, that's so funny.
It's so funny. It's the Dana Carvey interview.
Weren't impersonating Jimmy Stewart. You were impersonating Dana Carvey.
No, I haven't heard that podcast, so that still counts as mine.
No, it's not yours. It's not yours.
But have you seen Rear Window?
No.
So it's a New York based film by Alfred Hitchcock.
This is Hitchcock, yeah.
Hitchcock.
I just saw my first Hitchcock movie this summer. I saw Psycho. Loved it. So good.
Psycho, North by Northwest, and then Vertigo is probably the best. Vertigo's
amazing.
But Rear Window is great because it's such a simple movie, but it takes place he's in a wheelchair. He's a writer, I think.
I don't know.
But he's in a wheelchair and he just sees the back of, you know, New York when you just see all the windows and everything.
Yeah.
And he just sees a lady get murdered.
Whoa.
And then he witnesses it, but the murderer looks and sees him.
Mm.
And so then it's like, how does he?
It's also the plot of Pineapple Express.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. But this is like, it's not like they stole it from that, but it's like that movie's so iconic that I'm sure they were like, Rear Window, but this.
Mm.
And that's like very realistic. You're like in your neighbor's business here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a kind of a rear window situation where
you had a rear flirt window.
I had a definite rear flirt window where I met someone and then we went on some dates and then we were talking about where we lived. I knew that she lived in the neighborhood and then we found out we're like, I think our buildings are pretty close. And then we like went through this whole thing on the phone and then it basically got to like, wait, turn your light off and turn it on. And I was like, are you the building directly behind me? And then we realized we could completely see each other's apartments. We're one building away just through backyards.
Did she ever show you her boobs from the window?
She did not. She did not.
What about boob?
No, she never flashed me a single Miranda boob either. She never did.
That's a huge,
I moved out of that apartment only to move across the hall to another apartment closer to her apartment. So now I have an even better view of her place.
Oh, that's so funny.
Anymore. Yeah.
I know at the Standard, which is probably featured in the show at some point, or maybe it wasn't built yet, but the Standard Hotel in Meatpacking District.
Oh, yeah. The one on the High Line.
Yeah. They just have, it's just like the whole side of the thing by the High Line is just all windows.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I've definitely seen a fair amount of people doing sex up against the window.
Really?
Doing sex.
So you were in the hotel?
No. If you're on the High Line, you can see everything.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And I used to give tours of the High Line.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be there enough. It's not like you walk past and you're just like, look, but it was like over the course of like 2 years, I was there a fair amount. And you would just see some people that were just like being a little, what's the word?
Voyeuristic could be if you're watching it.
Okay.
But
I was being voyeuristic.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying. There's exhibitionists.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, it's not like the reason people stay there, but I do think a lot of people stay there. And that kink comes up. I don't even know if it's a kink, but they're just like, whoa, we could have sex overlooking New York. Because I think I've heard multiple people talk about seeing that happen there.
Yeah.
At that particular hotel.
Do you think that'll be referenced in
Just Like That?
In Just Like That?
I hope so. Dude, what if they do an episode called In Just Like Splat? That's the one where Lexi Featherstone comes back to life.
That'd
she
awesome.
Gets zombie fight.
She just gets awesome necromancy.
I can't wait.
She's just
so good.
Just walking around town, walking around New York City, just killing cab drivers.
Killing cab drivers, but also having sex with
bones
them.
And like voodoo jewels hanging off of her.
That'd be amazing.
Be insane.
Be incredible.
That would be so righteous.
Oh, that's the spinoff.
They just did the first table read.
I saw that.
Which is, isn't it so fascinating to just know, like,
dude, I saw it. I was incantations of them resurrecting Lexi Featherstone.
the table read was just a seance for Lexi Featherstone.
It said in Mordor tongue, and then it was just Carrie reading from Sauron's book of necromancy. Dead. Yeah.
Well, it's funny to know there's more than just writing. I know they have to, but it's like the die has been cast. All of this, it's all been written now. So it's just like fascinating to imagine them sitting there, finding it out, wondering where it goes.
Totally.
And be like, that's, I mean, you can do rewrites, but it's like the bones are there.
Yeah.
Ooh!
The Lexi Featherbones.
I feel like we have to write in Just Like Splat. I feel like we have to write that.
Write in Just Like Splat.
That story.
Yeah.
Maybe we should totally write it.
It's just like Lexi killing all four of the characters for 4 episodes.
Yeah.
Do you think she puts spare Wallace Shawn's character?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
She kills like a lot of people in New York. She like laces the cocaine.
she's how fentanyl got all the cocaine.
She's the fentanyl problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Ma'am.
What stories did happen in this? I mean, it's so funny that this is the first I didn't hate it because it's like I like, you know, like hanging, but I remember the John Bon Jovi episode just having more meat. And I'm like, man, this was such a slight episode.
Mm-hmm. The Miranda storyline's really good. I think like it's like played very well by her, as always. It's like very fun. And then she does that very good Cynthia Nixon thing, like when you find out that dude so nonchalantly is like, oh yeah, you live below the guy that I'm cruising.
Right.
She's so heartbroken. And then the line I think Carrie says is like she realized she'd been playing with an imaginary friend the same way she did when she was 5. Mm-hmm. And it's just like so embarrassing. Like when you have one of those, when you have when you have a relational slight that's not a big deal. I'm laughing because it reminds me of when me and you and a couple of people went out to dinner a couple of weeks ago and I talked to that waitress and then
oh, that was pretty funny.
Yeah. Oh, no, what happened? Share.
So the point I was making was like you have a relational slight that in the moment you feel mortified and then you're over it within like five hours. Yeah. But Kevin and I went to dinner.
Or it's like when you wave yes. back at someone yes. and then you realize they're looking behind you.
Yeah, uh-huh. You know? It's more that. It's more that you are like, hey, what's up? And then, yeah, it's more just the embarrassment of like, oh my gosh.
This I feel is like that's stupid. Like that. That's something that every single human can relate to. That has Absolutely. Happened to every single person. Absolutely. Always like, or like when you go to give someone a hug or someone like leaves you hanging.
Yeah.
And you're just like if you go for a five and they just like don't see you and give someone else a high five and you're like, man.
Yeah.
Remember the old.
Everyone can relate to that.
Ellen Absolutely. DeGeneres has an old joke where she, where when you like trip on the sidewalk, no matter who you are, you like do a few jogs after
yep.
to like, and then you like look back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you just do those like few jogs.
You look back, make sure that your staff is behind you so you can make fun of them.
Yeah.
Be horrible to them.
So you can scream at them, mm-hmm. call them losers and then go dance with Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be on Ellen so fast right now if I could.
You what?
I would love to be on the Ellen show.
Dude, I feel like you would be so good if you got pulled out of the audience to be on stage.
I'd have
for
so much fun.
And then when they cut the cameras, she just
her company yep. reached out to ours to do the like giveaway.
Really?
Like the Ellen. Yeah.
But you have to pay for it, right?
We're like, oh, this is gonna be sweet. And like you have to donate 500 products. And we're like, okay, that's no problem. And like, and you have to donate $250,000. Like,
to who?
Just Ellen.
Just to the
So donate? Pay?
Pay.
Yeah, like, donate.
That's payola.
It's pay to get your product on. Yeah, yeah. Payola.
I mean, but when they're reaching out, that's kind of silly. Mm,
yeah. That's Hollywood, baby. That's Hollywood, baby.
You know what? Yeah, you don't want to. You could make a stink about that and people would be not surprised.
You could, and then it'd be one of the things where like it'd probably get a big reaction. And then like one or two things later, people would be like, that's a common process that happens all the time.
Yeah, totally.
That just, I mean, it makes sense, but it's like,
yeah.
Sometimes when you realize how the sausage gets made.
Yeah.
Dude.
You don't want to see how the sausage gets made.
Corey, tell the story.
Kevin and I went out to a dinner with a friend who was in town a couple weeks ago.
Great restaurant.
Great restaurant.
One of the best restaurants in New York.
You've been talking that up like, I've heard you mention it like 10 times.
Place is fantastic.
Because I know you're a big restaurant person, and I know you and Katie would.
It is
be very impressed.
It's all Basque cuisine. So it's like Spanish, like French Spain border. So it's all like really good seafood, really amazing restaurant. Mm-hmm. Kevin and I went there and saw John Krasinski there one time.
No, we didn't. We saw John Krasinski, Emily Blunt, Emily Mortimer, and her husband. I don't know who he is.
Emily Mortimer from.
Dude, it's so funny. I saw John Krasinski at Just Salad. So they're basically the same place.
You didn't see just John Krasinski. You saw John Krasinski, Steve Carell. Yeah. Dwight Schrute.
I saw
not the actor, the character.
The character.
Not the guy I saw Dwight. John Krasinski at the library,
uh-huh.
And he said, "I think I got the perfect idea for a movie."
Save your bits for the stage, dude.
Save your bits for the stage, man. Hey, funny thing about Quiet Place, you know that it was originally written to be in the Cloverfield universe. And then the Krasinski got in touch with the guys and he was like, don't do that. Let's make this. All right. So what happened is we're at Lavara. And I start vibing with we had a waitress switch over in the middle. We had one waitress who was like awesome. We're talking about wine.
You asked the waitress out. You were vibing. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to rush it, but it was okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Holy cow.
Oh my goodness. No. Not only save your bits for the stage, but stop stealing other people's bits off the stage. Good God, dude.
You were okay. God,
that's fine. Now that my confidence has been destroyed, I'll finish. The story.
I didn't mean
so,
that.
So, basically, during dinner, our other friend was like, he was like, dude, you have amazing banter with this waitress. Like, this is great. And I was like, oh, really? I thought we were just talking. And so we go to leave. And then one of y'all was like, ask her out. And so we are going to a bar. And I was like, hey, this is super fun. This is really weird. But like, do you want to go meet us at this one bar? And she was like, yeah, that'd be great. And I was like, cool. Like, we're just going to have some drinks, whatever. And there was like a genuine, innocent, like not trying to be, you know, like whatever, but like the, if you want to come meet us, that'd be awesome. And she was like, I would really like that. And I was like, great. And I told her my name. She told me hers. And we walk and we go to the bar, get there. And this is like COVID times and bars closed earlier. Bars absolutely closed.
Oh, no.
And she told me 10. And she was like, oh, we always go to that bar afterward. I'll see you over there. Bar's closed. So then we go back towards the restaurant and our friend's going to get his car. And he's like, I parked by the restaurant. Why don't you just go back in? And I was like, and already in my gut, I was like, don't do this. It's gone. But I was like, okay, sure. So I have to put my mask on. And then I walk back in and they're closing up and the bartender's like, what's up, buddy? And I was like, can I use your bathroom? And he was like, sure. And I like as an excuse to go find the waitress. And then I go back and she's stacking chairs in the back and she just turns around in dead eye contact with me. She goes, what's up? And I was like, hey, so that bar was closed. We're going to go to this other bar. And she was like, okay. And I was like, if y'all want to meet us, we'll be there. She's like, sounds good. And then I left. And then we got in the car and they were like, oof. And then we got to that bar and it was closed.
Oh, that bar was closed too.
And then we just went to another bar and I had like one drink and then went home and was like,
cried yourself to sleep.
I mean, I think you made the right move, but there's no way. Because when there's like the energy of a moment or something, you're like following up and then it's like.
Can I tell one other funny thing that happened from my view? I think this has happened. You were so stoked for me when I like went up and was like asked her to the first bar that I heard you from down the block. I was with our group of friends and then I peeled off and it was a very like not obvious, but kind of obvious like, oh, that guy's hanging back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then. When I like made the ask and started walking, you could all tell that it went well. And you just went, yes! And you shook a revel and the alarm went off on it. And then our other friend was like, Kevin, keep it together.
Wait,
you shook a rental motorcycle. And she goes,
oh my gosh.
Classic.
Classic.
Well,
classic,
I mean,
being excited for your friends.
That's
great.
I don't think you can't. You played that right.
No,
dude,
no,
you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. I learned that from Hitch.
Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott. Yeah.
It's always a risky move to ask out a waitress, though, because
it is. I mean, I kind of feel like going back to Lavara now.
Do like, it. Ask the bartender out this time.
What's up, buddy? You want to get a drink?
Want to get drinks?
Are you gay? Like you, no. Are you? No.
No. But let's I feel like we drink, could dude. Be friends.
I think we'd be great friends. I bet you're a big Knicks fan.
Let's talk about Gary's storyline. Good idea to ask someone out that you meet in the waiting room of a doctor's office.
JBJ. Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, there's never a good place to ask anyone out ever.
That's a good point. That's a great point.
Because it's all context. But this
I'm trying to think if I want to argue that point. I feel like if you are at a bar and someone else is at a bar and you connect with them, that is a good place. Isn't that why people go to bars?
Somewhat. I think my point is basically that it is all within context. Like you could be like, you have to be there. There are some people with more social understanding and game, But someone could be like, and they said no, and it's like, well, yeah, that could be the perfect situation, and then you bomb, or the right situation, or the wrong situation, but your instincts tell you it's right. I think either way, psychiatrist's office, you're playing with fire.
Yeah, I agree with that. I totally agree with that.
What about at other? What about at other doctor's office?
Like, what if you're at your dentist?
Yeah, your dentist, I feel like, is a great spot.
Yeah.
Like that. That is actually a good spot to ask someone out at.
Oh,
Novocaine.
Yeah, I mean, how could this? The cool part about this storyline is like it didn't. I mean, you knew the person was going to be kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they kind of do the crazy thing later. Remember the guy in the loony bin? How weird that is.
Oh, the Duchovny storyline.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't he talk about shitting his pants or something? There's something with poop.
They really
don't paint
mental health stuff well in the show.
No.
Oh man.
I think there is something with him like going to the bathroom or something like that.
This one is realistic in that a guy would just be like, I have problems disconnecting with people after sex and rolling over. Like that actually seemed like,
oh, yeah, dude, he reminded me of so many people that I know that I won't name on the pod, but like just
initials. Yeah.
No.
I'm kidding. I'm just joking. That's actually against the Hippocratic Oath. So we can't.
The name. Hey, none of us are doctors.
I know, but doctors. I took it just to be.
Did you take it?
Yeah, just to be sure. I mean, you can never be.
That's very noble of you. Just to take the Hippocratic Oath.
Remember what it said?
Anytime I go
A
on a date.
A squared plus B squared equals C squared. No, that's not.
It's good to just take oaths like that. Anytime I go on a date, I usually open by reading the woman her Miranda rights. Just like, just so you know, anything you say can will be used against you in a court of law.
Do you understand?
You understand? Cool. What do you want to drink? Okay. As long as we know what's going to
happen. We have a really great mojito here.
Okay. Well, I'm marking that down.
This next part's not going to be sexy, but it's necessary. Anything. Turn around, put your hands against the car.
Turn around, put your hands against the car. Hey, people say I'm a total Miranda. And by that, I mean, here's your Miranda.
A
reader of the rights.
Yeah, I mean, he looks good. He's a good looking guy.
Dude, he looks great.
He does look. Like,
she looks insane in fuego in this. Yeah,
her outfit,
yellow shorts, the blue. Yeah, the like that blue top, the little metal ring up around the clavicle.
He, you know, it's hard. How old is he in this? 40 something, maybe.
Yeah,
it's just crazy how hard it is. Like, I feel like I'm a relatively slender person, but to have your belt. You're tuck in and then it's just straight up from there. You don't even need to see that if he has a six pack or not.
Yeah.
He probably does. But it's like just when you see someone with a tuck in without any protrusion
of the belly. That's not a person who has three empty candy wrappers sitting next to them right now. Yeah, your Sour Patch Kids, your Red Vines.
Hi, John Bon Jovi, Kevin James Doyle, the Bradshaw Boys podcast. Just want to know what was your Red Vine consumption on the set of Sex and the City?
He was 37 in this episode.
Really?
37 in that episode.
Did you eat how all old the Sour Patch Kids? Just some of the Sour Patch Kids.
When is John Bon Jovi from? Is that right?
That's a great dude. That is a great question. when is John Bon Jovi from?
That's like an alien trying to learn to speak English.
Kevin and looked like his nephew. John Bon Jovi. He like had the big cute eyes and he looked at me. He's like, when is John Bon Jovi from? Like the most confused person. Is he from the 20s? Is he from the 1820s?
Is he a flapper?
Is he a pilgrim? When is John Bon Jovi from?
He is from.
I thought he was like early 90s, right?
He was born in 62. He looks like. He looks kind of like a sexy old woman or like an old.
old
Planet of the Apes. Doesn't he kind of look like the old Planet of the Apes? you know what I'm talking about? Like old Dr. Zaius? He kind of looks like that now.
Dude, he's rocking it though.
Oh, he's rocking the best. That's his son.
Oh
his
man.
His son looks like
he is so jealous of Tom Hanks' son.
Chet Hayes.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay, we got their first album.
Wow. That's amazing.
I don't know if there's a hit on there. Bon Jovi, the first album, is from 1984.
Yeah.
So he's like 20?
So he was 37. He was 37 in 99. So 84, he's 22.
Wow.
Sheesh.
Wow.
I guess it's just funny because I think of like all rock stars, I just don't think of as starting that young because it's like rap is the main. So you're like, oh yeah, like Jimi Hendrix was 20. Bon Jovi was like 20, 21. Mm-hmm. And I just think of them as like older looking or something.
Yeah.
That's just so weird.
There is a thing where like rock.
When is Bon Jovi from?
When is he from? I guess though, like rock icons always look, they're supposed to look like men, like men. Like they never look like boys. They look older, you know, especially from that era. I mean, even though a lot of them at that time, like a lot of glam rockers, like even wore makeup, like they never looked young. They always looked like someone that was solidly in their late 20s.
Like ZZ Top was just born looking that way.
Those dudes look like they were like 50 from the get-go.
Whoa, here's a cool thing. Meanwhile, the first people to play their record was the W station WAPP, which WAP. Is just WAP.
WAP.
Hi, welcome to their Wet Ass Pussy Radio.
And their second album is called Slippery When Wet.
Hey!
There you go. Wait, let's...
With a bucket and a mop in the John Bon Jovi.
Dude, this is right around when he put out It's My Life, which that was their resurgence.
Yeah, totally.
It's my life!
Is that the one that goes, whoa, whoa?
No, that's Living on a Prayer, dude.
Yeah.
This
No, It's My Life was like... Donnie and Jenna?
Huh?
Donnie and Gina? Never Back Down?
What?
That's that song.
Oh, it's Tommy used to work on the docks. Union's been on strike. He's down on his luck. It's tough. Ooh, it's tough. Gina works the diner all day. Working for a man, she brings home her pay for love. Ooh, for love. You see, we got to hold on to what we got. It doesn't really matter if we make it or not. We've got each other, and that's a lot for love. We'll give it a shot. Halfway there, we're living on a prayer.
Now, that would have been a good storyline.
That would have been a fantastic storyline. I'm surprised no one's ever... I guarantee you there's so many like first-year film school students that made that into a short film. Okay. Just of a girl working at a diner, a guy working on the docks.
That would have just been cool if they role played that in the...
Yeah, that would have been in that Twister game. All right, here's the thing. So what if his voice is nothing like that in the episode?
Is this Steve? Is Steve the one holding the spin board?
So let's do a little role play here. Miranda doesn't know I'm here, but if you're Tommy?
I think this episode is interesting because there's almost kind of two Carrie storylines. There's a storyline of her... annoying her friends to the point where they tell her to go to get help.
Yeah.
And then there's the storyline post help. But here's what I don't understand. So she goes, she annoys her friends by talking about her relationship so much that they're like, go see this doctor. Mm-hmm. And then the doctor tells her, I think you picked the wrong person. Like you picked the wrong men. And then immediately the next scene, it's her bitching to her friends about the doctor telling her that she picks the wrong friend. At some point,
who's the problem?
I'm Team Carrie. Hold on,
you're Team Carrie.
Carrie. She got burned in a bad relationship, and you know what? She needs a better support system.
She
has a great support system.
Yeah, I'd say half of her support system is pro therapy. I guess not the half. Two of them are pro therapy. One is not pro therapy. Charlotte was not pro therapy.
Yeah,
but the other two were pro because Samantha's been before, even though she walked out of it. Uh-huh. And apparently Miranda goes all the time.
Which is interesting because nowadays I feel like most New Yorkers see a therapist across the board.
I think we've talked about this, but like I talked to someone not too long ago, like a generational thing. There were so many younger people that have worked at younger, like 20s, early 20s to mid 20s that I've worked with that I would hear them regularly, just like conversation in the kitchen, just being like, yeah, I mean, my therapist says this, and like, but almost in kind of like an old Woody Allen movie way, but also in just a way where it's like very, very normal for like, it's like every young person sees a therapist and openly talks about it all the time,
My analyst.
No, I have no problem with it. I think like, I mean, I've seen one, but I like usually don't openly talk about it except on podcasts or to listen to all over the world. but I do think there's a thing where like people, people I know would like use it. They would talk about it like at work in work meetings. And I'd be like, oh, I'm gonna do that.
Taylor Tomlinson, who's been on the pod, she just put a joke on her Instagram and she just said, how like brutal is it doing therapy on Zoom? She's like, just to watch, just to watch all of your insecurities buffer.
That's so good.
That's funny.
But I mean, the thing with Carrie in the beginning is it's very relatable. And basically what she just had, you get your free pass to be as annoying as you want. And your friends give you that lifeline to be like, you got to get that out. Mm-hmm. And Carrie, in probably true Carrie fashion, just like, that was probably week three of being like, hey, you get your few chances, but.
Well, it was really good editing because it shows her rehashing the same conversations over and over with all of her friends. Mm-hmm. And then the last one, it's all of them separately. And then the last one, they're all together. That was really great. That was really, really great editing.
What makes me want to absolutely kill myself or get, or just get over something is whenever you complain to is just everything. No, I'm kidding. When you complain to like one person about something and then you complain to like another person about something and then that person, and then you're complaining about it to like a third person, but to the, like someone else who's already heard you like hears it. So they just hear you
re-complain.
And then you're just like, you got to get over this. You know what I mean? Well,
that's why I thought it was actually good advice to be like, maybe you should see a therapist. Cause part of therapy is just being like, I need a place to vent this
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
And I do think there's a thing where it's like, yeah, you have friends, like your friends should be able to handle you talking about stuff. But also at some point they're like, this is more than you just need to vent. You need to work some stuff out. You know, I think that was actually like very good thing. Cause you're right. After a while, your friends are just going to be like, you have talked to each one of us about us, and now you're talking about it collectively. Like,
yeah,
we're here for you, but like, maybe this involves like actually doing a little bit of work to.
Do
like,
you think Big was in there? Do you think Big was venting to his friends too? He was like, he was meeting Natalia. He's meeting Natalia right now.
Yeah,
Natasha. Sorry,
Natasha. He's probably also meeting Natalia.
Yeah.
Well, he's how like did the breakup go? Is he?
He just kind of left.
They hooked up.
I don't think he saw it coming, even though, like, I don't mean that as a defense to him. I think he was just like, oh, yeah, we're back. And then she was like,
yeah, and he's just like, done. I need to prioritize work.
Yeah.
And
right.
She's like, this ain't working. And he's like, I'm going to go to Paris and eat croissants and just hang out with Natasha.
I feel like he's not.
0% chance he's.
There's no way.
He's hanging out with that friend of his that he does the crossword puzzle with. And they're just getting blackout drunk right now.
That dude who's like always a wreck about some other woman. He's always had a breakup and all he does is talk to Big about it.
Maybe that guy, maybe right now in the show, that guy's in like a really great relationship and Big is sitting across from him doing the crossword.
Dude, I would just love like that.
Showing up disheveled.
You know.
Drunk off his ass.
Yeah. Carrie's like, I wonder if it'd be a great cutaway for her to be like, after it's done, just be like, I wonder if Big's in therapy, and it just cuts to him. He's like, Carrie, who? Dude, he's not that, but it's like, I bet he's
just reaching in his stash of extra toothbrush heads for all the women he has over.
Yeah.
No, it'd be great if he was just in the background of the sports bar.
I was wondering if he was in sports night.
See him doing a line of blow off the counter.
She doesn't get her hooks in him until like round two.
Yeah, totally. Like, yeah, that's true.
I think he's
round three, really. Didn't we just watch round two?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Then round three.
Round three.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. This is round two.
Yeah, he's got to get that third marriage out of the way.
Oh man.
Second marriage or third marriage?
She's his third marriage, I think. Because Natasha's his second.
Who's his third then?
Carrie's his third. Yeah, because he had the woman that we met. The book editor.
And then we have Natasha.
And then Carrie.
Okay.
Yeah. When you're like Larry King and you're like 89, he's dead now. He died earlier this year, I think.
Rest in
peace, Larry King. But when you're.
This is a Larry King memorial podcast now.
the King Kings.
My favorite interview of his is when he had the entire cast of the original Star Wars on the show. Walter Matthau. I'm just kidding.
Really?
No, I'm making a joke.
I just think he was married like seven times.
Something like that.
Yeah. And it's like, what's going through his head when it's like the seventh one? You know, it's like, you're just like, why are you getting married? What are you getting out of it?
That is basically just like your new girlfriend. But you're deciding to get married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you get two. You get marriages. Two.
Katie, you hear that?
No, Katie. I'm just saying, like,
Katie, you got another one.
No, I'm just saying, like, if you get married, you get divorced. If you get married again, you can be like, okay, I messed up this time.
I get that.
And then no more marriage. And then you're done.
I get that.
Unless you're like a widow or something like that. Like, unless that happens. But if you like get in a marriage and leave, it's just like you're
but
not.
But even if you're a widow on your third or fourth, then it's like, hey, we're going to need to look at these autopsies.
But at some point you're just like, I'm not good at running. I'll try it occasionally, but I'm not going to run a marathon. Like, I'm too big for it. At some point you just got to be like, you're not good at marriage. You're done.
What do you think? Okay. Let's say you're done. You get your two. Can that person still partner?
Yeah.
Because I've wondered about that.
But then you just like, but then you just be the partner. You wear nothing but Tommy Bahama shirts,
right?
And you don't combine your incomes, and you just that's your life now,
right? Because I wondered that if someone is like found out they're like not a marrying person, if it's like, well, then what if they just become a partnering person and do like it's like, oh, didn't get married, and so then it's like maybe getting married is the problem.
I'll even give you an annulment. You can have two and an annulment. You can realize really quickly that it was the wrong marriage and you can have it. True. But after that, it's just like, that's not something you do.
Dark curveball. What if there's a widowing involved?
Well, then I think that one doesn't count.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. I mean, there is something that makes me think about the new series. Like that would actually, it would be disappointing. If her and Big get divorced,
mm-hmm.
but it would be interesting if it's just like, I'm just not the marrying kind. Like if he just hits that same,
yeah,
because it's like, I'm just so fascinated with like what they're gonna do. Cause I'm just like, I'm like on edge with the new series.
I know
you're trembling with anticipation.
I feel like we do need to do an episode and we need to do like collective research. Like we've talked about a bunch of stuff. We need to do collective research of like, here's what we know, here's the rumors, here's the theories, and just do a talk about like pre-premiere. We could even do it in the next couple of weeks. Do a thing of just like a deep dive on everything we know, what our hopes and fears are about the new series.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you had a really interesting couple weeks ago where you were just like, it's gonna be bad. It's gonna be bad, guys.
Yeah.
And like, I think it's worth like talking about it, just being like, look, it's gonna be a thing. Like we were just talking about In the Heights tonight. There was like a ton of like lead up to that. And it's like, this will be one of those series, probably more than In the Heights, where it's just like Friends reunion. Like everyone's gonna be like, all right, what's this gonna be? And it's like, all right, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's get it out there. Let's get a therapist. Let's zoom in a therapist.
This is like therapist.
Yeah.
Let's get zoom in a therapist and do it.
All
right.
Yeah. Well, that's all we got.
I think that's all we got.
I think those are plenty of games that we played.
We played some games. We happened upon some.
You got to talk about what happened in the break.
Oh man. So we did best of three. We did a straight up series, best of three.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Corey beat me 3-0. He wiped
in the first
he
game.
Wiped the floor with me. But mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. I suggested
don't
we
call
do
a comeback.
Yeah, we do a best of three series of best of three. So we do like a little tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I beat him 3-0 the second one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one, we tied. I went up 2-0. You came back for 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about it for a long time. We both sat and thought about it. And he went back to his old faithful and I covered him up.
Yep.
He went back to rock and I papered his ass.
Yep.
And took it down.
But it was interesting because it talked about, I was like, had I thought about it more, maybe I would have gone scissors. But that's the thing. You said like, that's the games that people play.
The games people play. And Corey
rock, paper, scissors.
And Kevin sat on the couch and just watched us.
He filmed it. I put it on Instagram.
We love you all. Thank you so much for listening.
Check out our Patreon if you want
more. Yeah. And even if you don't want more,
check it out anyway.
Yeah. We'll play games with you on Patreon.
Heck yeah, we will.
Yeah. Sure. You pay us money to listen to more of our content and then we spend it on a slot machine in Las Vegas.
What are we,
yeah.
Ellen? We're asking.
it's just like that old Harrison Ford movie.
Get off my plane.
Patreon games.
Patreon games. Great then. All right. Bye. Later, taters.
Later,
bye.
Taters.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cavan, John Sieber, and Kevin James Doyle. The show is produced by Jeremy L. Balin. For more information on the guys, check out their website at bradshawboys.com, on social media at The Bradshaw Boys, and if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.